You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
We are 29 minutes away from Flip-a-Palooza. Pelicans, Mavericks, Grizzlies. 2:30 live on NBA TV. I cannot believe they're going to televise a coin flip, but we will get to see a coin flip. Who will select 7th, 8th, or 9th? Well, not really, because you still got the lottery to go as well. It's just, that's going to be the percentage of the balls that you can get that will go in to the NBA draft lottery on May 14th. It is hour number 3 of the Sports Hangover. Marlon Fayright, Paul Boron to recap WrestleMania bottom of the hour. First, let us welcome you to the weekend.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah.
Ah, yes. A little bit of a change, a little cool front coming through over the weekend. We spoke with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers. Back in now, we're number one, 37 degrees when he woke up this morning. It's going to be in the 50s when they have first pitch later on tonight. Tigers taking on the Missouri Tigers. Tulane, we just spoke to the voice of the Green Wave and the grass, saying anywhere between 20-25 mile an hour winds over the weekend could affect it. Can Cody Hosey increase his home run count? Really incredible from that conversation. And again, that stat. Cody Hosey, 17 home runs, only 15 strikeouts in the season, 30 plus games. That's incredible. He's having an incredible year. The guys that are around me here just heard that stat and said the same thing. It's an incredible. So again, it may or may not be a Tulane. You're seeing one of the best seasons in hitters in college baseball overall, folks. In Uptown New Orleans right now, if you want to go check him out or keep tabs on him and what he's doing. We also spoke with Rafael Esparza a little bit about, again, where the draft is sort of going to go. Shamit Dua from Bourbon Street shot, same thing, kind of their sense and feel of where the Pels can go. There's a lot of options that can go either way for them. Look, I get it. You look at 7, 8, 9, the coin flip. Again, it really doesn't matter because each of those teams, the Pelicans, the Mavericks, and the Grizzlies, are still going to have 26% chance at getting a top 4 spot. And again, I'm just using NBADraft.net. It's the one I kind of trust the most. You got some pretty good players that are going to be there in the top 4 spots that can do that. So it's kind of something that we've been discussing as well. I'm kind of lenient, and I hear what Shamit said, you know, best player available. And I think wherever you are, you're going to go that direction and route. I'm just saying I'm being greedy, and I'm just sitting in the room saying, okay, I'm the new GM. What I got, I know I got Drew Holiday. Everybody else will fill in later, but I got Drew Holiday. And I think the way you got to build the Pelicans team is you look at it like that. I got Drew Holiday. Then I see what I get in the lottery with that player. And then I see what I get from the Anthony Davis trade. Then I decide on Jahlil Okafor, which is a team option, Julius Randle, things of that nature, Elfrid Payton. But when you look at it, Zion Williamson, Ja Morant, R.J. Barrett, Kobe White is in there, Jarrett Culver, DeAndre Hunter, those are players in the top 8. You can really go anywhere with that. But again, the coin flip, we're having fun with it, but all the coin flip's going to decide is, all right, going into the lottery, when they press the button and start, you know, churning the ping pong balls, who will get the slightest bit more percentage and more ping pong balls in the hopper, if that makes any sense. So it sounds confusing. Just May 14th is all you really need to know, right? May 14th is what you need to really know. The other story we've been touching on today as well is Will Wade. So he is ending his 34 days of silence. What I mean silence, I'm talking about literally coming in and speaking to his bosses and the university. So That meeting was set to be today. I haven't seen any update on that today that's been leaked out or given out as well on that. But a couple of stories have been put out there about what exactly the significance is of the meeting, what it can happen. Remember, last week, two developments really took place. One, the fact that Will Wade got new representation. He hired the attorney to represent Sean Miller, the head coach of Arizona, and also Bruce Pearl for Auburn. What do they have in common? Been in trouble with the NCAA, or people wanted to know a few things about them. So I said at the time, well, why didn't you do that in October and hire him? Then maybe you could have coached the entire season. I've always said as well, get ahead of this as well. The other big development, remember, don't forget, is that you have the situation of the federal prosecutors coming out last week saying, we don't want him to testify. That's something that was interesting to me and was different, right? Remember last week, the thing that stood out was federal prosecutors are trying to keep him from testifying at the trial that's starting on April 22nd. It came out that it was Dawkins and the defense that wanted Will Wade and others to testify because they're saying, hey, look, it's college basketball shady. Bring down the whole system. Bring everything down. So, you know, when you look at it from that perspective, I think that was different and from a lot of different people to look at, you know, as to because I had taken it and thought that it was the, you know, the feds that wanted because he was on the FBI wiretap. But they were trying to keep him from testifying. So we had fun, Joey, in hour one, kind of wondering how does that conversation even start? You know, I mean, what's it going to be? You know, how does it go when it comes from that perspective? Like you walk in the room, hey, how's it going? What's going on? I mean, do you shake it out? Do you do, like you said, the Marlin favorite? Hello, somebody. I mean, is it pleasant? I mean, it's just weird. Like I'm trying to imagine that initial entrance. You know, he's got his new attorney. Who do you have in the room when you walk in? Is it, you know, F. King Alexander, the president? Is it Joe Oliva? Is it their attorneys? Is it other board members? Is it six or seven different people when you walk into the room and they're all sitting there going, hello, Will? You know, I mean, like, do you stand up and shake hands? I mean, it's just weird. I mean, like, you've avoided contact and meeting, and now here you are to discuss. And it's that initial thing, I think, is the interesting aspect of it. Look, I look at it like this. If I'm LSU, and I said this earlier, the guy can coach. The guy grabbed players, however they got him in, and made them successful enough to where they could play and win a lot of games. They won the SEC regular season. So that said, I'm you know, probably need to go to a roster and see who's still coming back and who's not when it comes to it, right? Because yesterday you had another pair of Tigers in Smart and Williams declaring for the draft. Again, do they hire agents? Do they not? Do you just say their intentions to do that to go see where they would go? Because it's something that I've been touching on when it comes to this. I don't see many mock drafts, if any, that have anybody other than Naz Reid drafted. And why I say that's significant is because in the first round, you would get a guaranteed deal. Okay? So you can play, you can not play, you can stink, not stink. You're going to get some money. It's guaranteed. Second round, you can be a sandwich artist. I mean, there's no guarantee you make a team. If you don't make the team, there's no guaranteed money. There's no contract. You're looking at playing overseas. You're looking at playing in the G League. And I can promise you, you're not making a ton of money that way. Now, can you make your way up? Sure. We saw, you know, Cam Reynolds, who played at Tulane last year, get a couple of 10-day from the T-Wolves, got signed on towards the end of last season. I hear you. But, you know, again, do they have much option? You don't know who the coach is. You don't know the direction. You don't know if they're going to be under sanctions. I understand it, but you basically have the entire team either declared or leaving. So does it change if Will Wade comes in or not? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of this meeting here as well. Because if you're LSU, do you wait till the 22nd when this trial comes? What if you have this meeting with him and, I don't know, I don't even know if you can say bygones be bygones or get enough explanation up that you are comfortable with and say, all right, that's fine, we'll go to it. And what if they play the tapes? What if they play the tapes and it vindicates him? What if it played the tapes and it implicates him even more? I don't know, but I find it interesting. Again, he gets that representation, and then right after that, it's the Fed saying, hey, we don't want him to testify. We want to bar him from actually testifying. That's kind of a big thing when you look at it from that perspective. So we've touched on all of that earlier here today as well. Masters round number two is underway. Your leader is Francesco Molinari at 7-under par. Ian Poulter is 5-under. Also at 5-under, Jason Day, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, who's even today through 13. So sort of like Robert Emmett was saying, just be patient, just kind of stay at pack. And I mean, look, if you're Phil, you're two off the lead right now. I think you'd be ecstatic to sort of be two or one off the lead going into it, going into Saturday, which is moving day. Brooks Koepka also at 5-under. John Rahm, 5-under. Matt Kuchar, 4-under. Bryson DeChambeau was all the way up to 6-under today, but he is 3-over through 14, so not having the Friday that he would like as well. One of the big stories yesterday was Tiger Woods. He is even through 3. Ricky Fowler is even through 2 as well, so they're right behind one another. Ricky behind Tiger. And it'll be interesting to see if they can make their way up for it right now. Rahm is setting up for a birdie putt here as he's 5-under. Tiger playing with him today, and he will go next as he misses the birdie putt. And we'll keep you posted throughout the day. Bubba Watson, 1-under through 15. He's now at 1-under overall as he's 1-under on the day. And Jordan Spieth, 3-under, still even through 13. So let's see if Jordan can make a little noise. Joey, I don't mean Jordan the intern. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime in as well. We also talked a little bit about the NBA playoffs. We got that going on this weekend. 4 games on tap tomorrow. Nets and Sixers tip off at 1:30 on ESPN. Who you like? I think that Nets series is going to be, with the Sixers, going to be a little closer than I think that people are thinking it's going to be here. I could see him giving Philly a little bit of trouble, but for Philly, they better take care of business here when it comes to it. Magic and Raptors are at 4:00 on ESPN. Clippers and Warriors 7:15 on ABC, and then on ESPN 9:30, it's the Spurs and Nuggets as Tiger just misses a putt for par, so he will drop a shot and go back down to 2-under. Little unhappy or not, as it stays just left of the cup. So far, a par, 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 birdie on 4, and a bogey here on 5. We'll take the quick break, see if Marlon Favorite can join us. We'll chat with him. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs, from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot means more meat on the grill for less money on the table. Right now, the exclusive Next Grill 5-burner gas grill is only $159, regularly $199. Its 5 burners are big enough to handle 23 burgers at once. That's enough burger flipping real estate for you and 22 of your closest friends. Today is the day for doing. With the Next Grill 5-burner gas grill, just $159. Now, at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, while supplies last.
And now, the worst commercial ever.
Say, Jan, as a fellow respected small business professional, I wonder, who do you use for commercial auto and business insurance?
Progressive, of course. They helped with a customized insurance solution for my busy florist company.
I'm so glad we had this chance encounter in this busy restaurant.
Yes, that fake conversation was brutal. Whereas commercial auto and business insurance through Progressive is anything but. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to quote today. Insurance provided and serviced by Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. It's affiliated in third-party insurers.
What's up, New Orleans? It's Matt Moscona inviting you to join me weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. for After Further Review. I make you one promise. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it weekdays on After Further Review. Saints, Tigers, Pelicans, we got it all covered weekdays from 3 until 6 p.m. So tune us in and tell a friend. It's After Further Review, weekday afternoons from 3 until 6 on 100.3 ESPN New Orleans.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Oh, Bryson DeChambeau. He's a disastrous Fridays. He just missed a little putt there as well. He is going to continue to fall back again. We'll give you another leaderboard update coming up a little bit. Marlon Favright. At Big Faye, 504 is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Of course, the podcast, Inside the Trenches, along with Eric Alexander. What's going on, Marlon? How you doing?
Man, I'm feeling pretty good. Gus, I'm at my old high school, West Jeff High School, talking to the football team. I stepped out, said my boy called me. I said, hello, somebody. Got to talk to my boy Gus and them real quick. Lost track of time, man, but just enjoying talking to the football team right now.
I hear you, man. Look, it's interesting. We saw you on Facebook saying you're about to do that. How much do you enjoy being able to give back and just speak? And what exactly do you feel is some of the important aspects that kids today are asking you or want to know about?
They want to know about, to be honest with you, they want to know about how does it feel to play in the NFL. Like, that's the most commonly and most frequently asked question that I get when we go speak to high school football teams and our schools. And, you know, the answer to that, you know, you tell them, you know, your Cinderella story and how it happened. But then they want to learn more how they can get there. And I think that's the part that means the most to me, Gus, being able to take the knowledge that was gathered over all these years of playing ball and being around the business, little tidbits to help, you know, kids take their careers to the next level, man. And whenever I get an opportunity to do that, man, I love doing it. It brings joy to me for sure.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about kids want to know how to get into that next level and really how to get into that. I was just saying in the opening segment, but obviously two more LSU basketball players trying to see where they can go in the draft and stuff. And look, I just go by the sites that people that project and predict go, and I see just one. Yet there's, you know, over six players that have declared. And it's one of those things. It's easy to say I'm league bound or I can do that. Not everybody gets that opportunity in order to do that. But getting that information and trying to understand that is one area and aspect of that. Marlon, how difficult is actually getting an accurate read of what you can and can't do, especially this early at this level? Like, should you be worrying about that? Is it what college I can get into, what place I can go showcase there? Or do you really need to start thinking about things like that this early?
But you do want to start thinking about that. You look at your skill set, what you bring to the table, and what school or professional team is best fit for you. That's where it really all starts in that making that decision. Now, the talent, Gus, a lot of these kids, our kids, they're 16, 17-year-olds trying to figure out where I should choose to go to college and then translate that to 21, 22. Which agent should I choose that I feel worked the best in my favor to give me this opportunity, to give me the shot? So it's a big decision you have to make at such a tender age. And, you know, in your 30s and your 40s, it's a little different. You're an adult, been around the block, you know what to expect. You kind of have a better feel for yourself. And in this case, you know, a lot of the kids are still learning themselves. So it's a challenging process. I do, and I was just telling this to the kids over here at West Jeff, hey, man, use wisdom. If you can get a mentor or someone who's older than you, been there before, can kind of give you some guidance, you know, that's something I always use as a young All-American coming out of high school.
Speak with Marlon Favorite at Big Faye 504. You know, obviously the spring game just took place here for LSU, and now you got a little bit of that time off. But, you know, in that meantime, Can you still hone in on your skill set, or how important is it to kind of just get away for a little bit?
I suggest that the athletes may take a week off. I can remember going to, like, Atlanta one week, and I would go, I don't know, just maybe to the country. Just get away from it, but get back to work. You know, maybe get with the ConquerSportsPros.com or someone like that that could actually help your position drills. Anything you could do if you feel like it all, you get all the answers you need with the coaches. when you do your spring evaluation, hey, coach, what it is I really need to work on? And the coach will tell you, hey, your release, if you're a receiver, hey, you have to work on your release. You saw this a couple times on film. Your defensive tackle, taking it inside the trenches. Hey, man, you overset in your gap. You know, you saw the guard overset in that A-gap. You could have took an inside move. And that really translated over to when fall ball starts. You take the information from April, work on it in May and June, get back to LSU. Before you know it, you're back in it. So get off your feet, enjoy yourself, but definitely get back to working on your craft.
No, we talk about it a lot, and I guess I asked you that from a college standpoint, but I want to ask you this, since you happen to be at Yale High School there. How can high school students sort of get better from that perspective as well? I mean, look, you got the obviously advantage in college from position coaches that are professionals that are there to win. If not, they don't get paid, get fired. You have facilities. You have, access to different, supplements and things of that nature. What's the best way for a high school kid to kind of get better before fall football gets here?
I would watch tons of film. If I'm a defensive tackle, yeah. I would go on YouTube, especially this day and age, go on YouTube and just watch tons of film on Aaron Donald. You know, check out tons of film on Gerald McCoy. Watch tons of film on Sheldon Rankin. I would watch film on my favorite players. And then from that point, I would definitely go to some of these camps. You know, Tulane does a camp here. Matter of fact, LSU and Tulane is going to camp once in May 27th. I will go to that camp and get around different coaches and get some information from them, because they're watching and they're giving you an evaluation. When we did the Under Armour camp a few weeks ago, that's all that was. You know, kids were, doing the drills to the best of their knowledge, and then they would come to us and say, hey, coach, what do you see I need to work on? Or even better, Gus, hello, somebody. I will go to them. Hey, man, you should have took one more step upfield. Or, hey, you're not using your hands. And stuff like that. That's the stuff you really want to work on, especially the upper class and the juniors and the seniors for high school football.
That's interesting. So the head game, you think, is just as important as trying to get into the physical aspect of it right now, because practice is going to work on that, but trying to learn on film. You know, one thing that's interesting, you always bring that up and you say that, how can you get better at watching film? Like you say, go put on Aaron Donald, right? Okay, so I can go do that and YouTube it as well. How do I learn to look for certain things? Or is that just something you inherently know from playing that position and doing that? You get what I'm getting at? Like, how can you look at film better, or is it just seeing technique, seeing how he does things, and you basically understand that and know that because that's the position you play?
Gus, it's funny you say that, because I was just talking with the great Greg Cassell over at NFL Broadcast Bootcamp, and he's put 75 hours in a week watching and breaking down film, especially with the draft. Wow. He didn't already broke down like 250 guys. Gus, next time I see you, I have to show you this sheet, or I'll take a picture of it when I have it. He has a breakdown, a columnary, every little bits and piece of it, to his strengths, his weaknesses, his comparables, all of that, right? So film study is an art, and the more you dig into it, the better you get. I would start off with the how-to drills. It's a lot of, like, starts and stands, YouTube videos you can watch. And then once you see that, go look at your favorite player, your Aaron Donald or Sheldon Rankins, and look at him at that position and see how well he does, and then try to emulate it. When I was a kid, I would use the mirror sometimes. And I was blessed, Gus. I had really great coaching in high school with Coach Hank Tierney and Coach Malton and their staff, even here at West Jeff with Coach Pierce. And then, of course, the coaches we had at LSU. So the coaching does play a role, but, you know, those camps and watching film for those high school kids are very helpful for sure.
Marlon Fayer, a big Faye 504 is the way to follow on Twitter. You know, you mentioned Kyler Murray, and he caused a ruckus this morning on social media. There was a picture of him in front of the Giants facility. It's just, I get it. The Cardinals, he's been there a couple times already meeting with them. How do you feel about Kyler Murray? Maybe even just from some of the guys he talked to at the boot camp there as well. Do you think he'll translate to the next level?
Man, Gus, I have Matt Castle coming up on a few episodes on Inside the Trenches, and he talked about this. He said he's going to translate over to the game really good. When we were watching film with Greg, he broke down his film. He said, oh, no, he's going to be the number one guy off the board. He feels like he's coming off the board. Haskins, he has the stronger arm. Obviously, he's bigger. But Kyler Murray brings a whole other dynamic to the game from the speed. He has a stronger arm than Russell Wilson, according to Cassell. He's fast. He's quick. We broke down a couple of his films. We might have watched maybe four or five plays on him. I want to say against Alabama. By the way, that is the big question mark. That was the best defense he went against, and right. that defense was all over him. So they talked about that. But having a better offensive line when you get to the NFL. But his success when all else fails, his feet. The guy ran like a 60-yard touchdown on one of the tapes. I mean, he's right. just, man, he brings another dynamic to the game. But it's going to be interesting, Gus. I can't wait till we do the draft because I'm wanting to know who's going to get picked up. That's the big question mark out there. Like, who's going to get off the board first? Even quite as just kept Locke. And then you still have Haskins, and then Kyle Murray's, obviously the number one guy on a lot of folks' boards. So
yeah,
it's gonna
you
be
know,
cool.
Look, Haskins is this week he had his pro day or just. For some reason, he's gone down this week. I see a lot of people saying his draft is falling. It's not. I'll tell you this. In the games that I watched this year from Ohio State, I think he's better than he showcased and showed and can be. I think there's more upside than what you're seeing. The guy is huge. The guy can throw. And I think he's a better passer than some people make him out to be. I don't know why. I like Haskins, but... Again, I'm just telling you what some of the storylines this week has been, and it's that he's falling. His stock is falling. Now, when I say falling, he's still top 10, just outside the top 10, but he's not falling like to the second or third round. But, they don't have him as high as maybe they had him initially. Are you surprised at that?
I'm a bit surprised, but what's kind of clouding a little bit of my judgment? The amount of defensive talent on this board, Gus, and I want us to kind of think about this. In the first 10 picks, do you think we may have six defensive guys come off the board?
Right.
That's kind of why I'm thinking, because a lot of, man, you hear so many stories. I've heard a story where, in the case of Rosen, they're really trying to weigh the options and maybe go, Nick Bosa or somebody on defense, and then, you got a guy like Christian Wilkerson out of Clemson. He's climbing up the board. He's like the second-ranked defensive lineman on this draft board. So, man, it can go any way, but it is a bit surprising. It's just a lot of storylines, so it's going to be a very interesting end of April.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, man, get back over there and go talk to the kids over at West Jeff High School. Thanks for stepping away and doing your segment like a real professional. See, that's what you're
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Hello,
hey, man, enjoy your weekend. And like I said, man, looking forward to coming down and seeing what you and Skyler do. Going to bring my neighbor Darian over there. You guys do so much. Once again, how can people find out and see what you guys do over there at Conquer Sports?
They can visit conquersportspros.com. All the information is there, our contact information. You get a glimpse of what we do, man. And we're just wanting to help the college process with the high school athletes and also just their overall development. Skyler does a really good job with the speed thing, too. The speed train, I'm starting to notice a lot of our guys getting faster, man. So it's a complete nice. Package over there at Conquer. Sure.
Well, that was kind of his thing, wasn't it, Marlon?
He was
kind of a little speedy guy. That's good. Look, I don't know what kind of rules you got over there, but again, just earlier this week, I got tackled by a little thing that's about now almost to my knees. And I don't know when it's too early, but just let me know if you want to start like a toddler program to start getting. Because, look, I'm ready to retire now. So, I mean, I know Nick Saban and then we're giving offers to sixth graders and stuff. I mean, I'm all about trying to get a 4-year-old committed somewhere. I mean, what I'm saying?
Gus, let's do it, man. And you
dude, he hurts. I'm just telling you, he hurts. He's a solid little thing and he hurts. And I'm just, let's just get you going. Let's go. Rush the passer. You'll make some money. That's all you need to do.
I'm telling you, man, I think I see a Rover linebacker, man. They're blitzing them all third down. I'm telling you.
Hey, like I said, man, I mean, maybe we bring back the neck bar, the neck pad over there, to kind of made him look intimidating. Anyway, Marlon, go enjoy the weekend. I've taken up enough of your time. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it, man.
Take care, guys. Be easy, David.
There he goes. Marlon Faye, right? Big Faye, 504. Quick break. We come back. Paul Boron will tell us why he had fun and then didn't have fun at WrestleMania, and why, if anything, indirectly, it brung up, or it brings up, why New Orleans is such a great place to host big events. I'll explain that when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Golf is a four-letter word, and at Golf Tech, that four-letter word is sale.
Sale.
Right now, our swing evaluation and club fitting are both on sale for only $95 each. So, get your game on with stroke-saving lessons and perfectly fitted clubs at Golf Tech. Find your nearest Golf Tech at golftec.com. Visit golftec.com.
Swing better. Play better. Golf Tech.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. You're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover, as we bring in Paul Boron. Was that WrestleMania over the weekend? I'm going to get this eventually. P. Boron 88. I don't know why I have so much trouble with your Twitter handle, Paul.
I don't know, but
I think I'd
keel over if you actually got it on the first try.
I know. I don't understand it, man. It makes no sense. Tell the folks the name of the podcast, how you get to it, and all that.
Two-Faced Pod. It's at Two-Faced Pod on social media, or go to twofacedpod.com. We just posted this morning a gigantic 2-hour and 15-minute episode covering all things from WrestleMania weekend, including G1 Supercard, NXT TakeOver, and, of course, WrestleMania.
All right. I want to get into, obviously, some of the things that stood out in WrestleMania to you, but I think one of the things that you have to bring up that's interesting is it was another example, I think, after the event as to why New Orleans is such a great place to hold big events, right? I mean, I say this all the time. It was one of the things that really stood out, and I enjoyed hearing Gail Benson say, look, she's an ambassador for the assets in having the Saints and Pelicans and wants them to be here after she's not here. The reason that's important is because that's referencing the buildings, the facilities. Without that, you don't have big events, and Mania being one of them. It's been here twice now, and you can walk to everything, Paul. Your experience when WrestleMania ended, I think, was just as key to anything else as to why New Orleans is such a great place to hold a big event.
Well, I'll give you two big things from why the Superdome and New Orleans is one of the best places to do it. But first, in general terms, the outdoor shows, while it's great spectacle, it is not the best way to watch a show. We had $300 tickets, and a third of the ring was blocked by the support poles, for the light structure that's over the ring, something you don't have in the indoor venues because they can hang it from the ceiling. So, I'm not sure I'll go to another outdoor WrestleMania except maybe next year because it's convenient in Tampa. But I've heard that complaint from people when they were in Miami and a couple of the other outdoor sites. It's brutal because it doesn't tell you on the ticket it's obstructed view. So that was one problem. The second part, which you're more specifically talking about, is getting out of the stadium.
Right.
You leave the Superdome. Guess what? You're walking distance to a million different bars, right? You get out of MetLife Stadium, there's literally nothing around. So what's everybody doing? Trying to get out of there. Well, there's only two ways to get out of there, and that's if you parked or if you rode the train in. And the train was a nightmare. Show ended at 12:20. We didn't get a train for about an hour and a half, and we didn't get back to our hotel till after 3 because not only were the trains overloaded at the stadium, but once you got to your connection, it was so late that the trains running westbound to take us to where our hotel was had also stopped running. So then there was the scramble for Ubers at the connection point. So it was a nightmare. And we actually got lucky, if you can believe that, because we heard stories from people we know didn't get to their hotel till 4:30. They got hit with surge prices. We somehow beat that. People spent $200, $250 on an Uber. That's after waiting for several hours just to get out of there. So it was a nightmare.
That's pretty incredible when you look at it from that perspective and you think about it. Is that, I mean, that's a long time, you know? And first off, we're going to get into just how long WrestleMania is as it is.
Gotcha.
And, you know, a lot of people complaining about how long that is and how many matches it is and how it goes. So, look, the last thing you want, man, is to wait the hours that you're talking about before getting back to your place or just going and doing something. Look, something as easy as I want to go eat. You know,
right.
I want to go relax, have a beer, just chill and stuff, and that's crazy.
Being in the Northeast, I mean, one of the benefits is, you know, public transportation is so easily accessible. You can walk everywhere, catch a subway, catch a train. That's the great part. But if you're in an event like that where, you know, at least a third of the 80,000 people were reliant on that public transportation and they're all flooding to the station at the same time, so you've got thousands of people waiting outside. And then, of course, it started raining, which is another danger of the outdoor WrestleMania, that if the rain had come in an hour earlier, it would have been pouring during the main event. So another downside of the outdoor WrestleManias as well. But, yeah, it was a nightmare. And when we got back to the hotel, it was just like, oh, relief.
Paul Boron was over at WrestleMania. Let's kind of go over some things. Look, two historical moments took place, obviously, at WrestleMania. Which one outweighed the other, or were they equally as important? Of course, it kind of seems like Kofi winning was the bigger of the events.
It felt that way there. And, part of that is also because what you mentioned before, how long the show is. By the end, when the Becky Lynch moment happened, there were literally people leaving before the match even started. They watched the entrances and got out of there, probably knowing what the train situation was going to be, but also because the show was so long. So the pop when Becky won was not nearly what I expected it to be, whereas Kofi was more mid-show, and the explosion of cheering was unbelievable.
Right.
So to me, that felt more significant. Plus, you put in other factors. He's been around a lot longer, so it's a lifetime achievement as well, whereas Becky has already been the champion before. So, to me, the Kofi was much bigger.
You know, that's the thing. It's like you look at it, and I thought it was a nice match for the most part. The ending was a little peculiar. Do you think it was how it was intended to end there when the ladies had the main event, or do you think it just, I don't know. I mean, because, again, it's fatigue. It's been a while since you watched it. And I don't know. It felt, I wouldn't say let down. It was still a cool moment. But a pinup, you know, a roll up?
Yeah, it was, and obviously they're selling, but both Becky and Ronda, because we came back and rewatched all the shows that we went to, which was another endurance thing, going through all those shows again. But just to get the feel of how it was different on TV than being there. And, you know, when I watched it on TV, it looked like Becky and Ronda were both legitimately shocked that that was the ending. I've heard theories that the ref messed up. I heard the theories that Vince was in the ref's ear saying, let's wrap this up kind of thing. So I don't know. It was a clunky ending. I will say the match was better when I watched it on TV than I thought in person. I thought it didn't come off well in person. Like it almost felt sloppy. But when I watched it again, it actually was a decent match. Pretty well done, but I didn't think any of the three had their best match by any means.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I guess that's my disappointment in that, is that there was such a buildup in hype, and this was, you know, a very special moment for female wrestlers to take and have the main event. And again, I don't know if it would have been different if it just would have been Charlotte and Becky, you know, but I just think they're the better of the wrestlers, and I would have just liked to see that. Just, it looked forced a lot of times, and it just, I guess I was disappointed from that aspect because I think it could have been better, but that's the story of being a wrestling fan, right?
Well, and look, I think Ronda's done really well in her year of becoming a really good wrestler, but the other part of a triple threat match, the other part of a triple threat match is it's kind of awkward by nature. You know, somebody's always got to be out of the ring because you're not really going to have a double team. So they're always a little clunky anyway, but, you know, I think they did pretty well. Like I said, there are a few things that felt a little off and not their best performance, but given the stage, given the pressure, given what all of it meant, I thought it went pretty well.
I don't know if I text you this, but the beginning, obviously, when Seth Rollins comes out and faces Brock Lesnar, Rollins is such a good wrestler. I mean, when you saw him with Kofi on Raw the next day, like, that would have been great to see. Like, but that's the problem with Brock, and that's why so many wrestling fans have been upset that he had the title so long. Not only that you didn't see them as much, but just, other than doing an F5, there's nothing else he can do. He beat you up and threw you in tables like he did with Rollins. Other than that, that's all that you can really get out of that. And then you just see what Kofi and Seth did on Raw compared to what it took for him to win that title. And you can really see why I think wrestling fans are like, finally, just go away, man. Because it was cool that it was the first match. It was fine. But I mean, there was no wrestling involved in it, you know? I mean, Seth Rollins, it was almost like getting jumped into a gang or something. He took his beating, he paid his penance, and then here you go, here's your title, you know? And then the match ended.
Yeah, it seemed quick to us when we were like, that's it? So it seemed quick. Again, I thought it was better when I watched it the second time around on TV, but you're right. I mean, Seth Rollins is one of the best in WWE, and I would argue probably one of the 10 best wrestlers in the world. And so he's a great guy to have on a championship run because he is going to be there every week. He is passionate about WWE, so he is great. And look, that was she and I talked on the podcast today not only about the best matches from all the shows this weekend, but the best moments. And obviously Kofi is in there. Kurt Angle's retirement was in there. But 80,000 people, I think I told you this last Friday, 80,000 people yelling burn it down when he came to the ring was cool. Yep. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. You definitely said that was happening and that was going to be a cool, cool moment as well. All right, so moving forward from here on out, what do you think are some of the storylines that you're excited to sort of see and, more importantly, want to see continue?
It's kind of interesting. It's funny because, you know, the Raw and SmackDown after Mania are generally really great shows, and I was really disappointed by both of them. And I think part of that's because they've already done a bunch of the NXT call-ups a couple months ago with Ricochet and Aleister Black and all that and Lars Sullivan. So there weren't really any great surprises. And then you've got the Superstar Shake-Ups looming next week, or this coming week. So the immediate shows after Mania weren't that great, but it'll be interesting to see how things shake up. I could see somebody like AJ Styles going to Raw now, even though he's the face that built SmackDown or whatever they say his phrase was. But I could see him having a series with Seth Rollins, which would be automatically fantastic. It'll be interesting to see who Kofi mixes it up with on SmackDown. So, I'll be honest, I'm not all that excited about the Lacey Evans-Becky Lynch feud that they're starting, because from what I saw of Lacey Evans on NXT, I wasn't even sure she was ready for a promotion. I thought she was average at best. So I don't know how good that series is going to be if that's the direction they're going with Becky.
Yeah, kind of with you on that. It'll be interesting to see where some of these storylines go. But at the end of the day, what I gather out of it, yeah, you know, I was entertained for some, for sure. I always like watching AJ. I like Rollins, and you see some of those matches that, you know, got you going a little bit, some historical moments and aspects of it. And, you know, look, there's room for growth to get better on it. And it got better towards WrestleMania with storylines. And more importantly, it kind of did seem like they listened and paid attention to momentum. You know, if the crowd at shows, and it's something I know you and I will talk about because it's coming back in August, it matters. I mean, they pay attention. I mean, that's what I took out of it going into WrestleMania. A lot of the events that took place, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong, came about probably because of how momentum built. And that's all I think fans have ever complained about, is to listen to its fans. And I would say that some of these matches were because of that.
Absolutely. And look, you can't let the crowd completely dictate everything, obviously. But, you know, I think when creative starts listening to the fans a little bit, it makes the fans more invested. Look, we joked about this, right, you know, for years about them forcing Roman down our throats, and the crowd didn't want Roman as a good guy, you know. Then he goes away for leukemia, and he beats leukemia, he comes back, and it was interesting. I mean, he's a good example. You know, it was funny at WrestleMania because, and I'm sure he actually probably liked it, it was back to normalcy because people were actually booing him again at WrestleMania, you know. So, you know, you gotta let the crowd have its voice a little bit. You know, don't force Roman down our throats. If we don't want him as a good guy, maybe you want to make him a heel, great. You know, if Kofi deserves a title run, give it to us. But, you know, don't do things just because you're so stuck on it and alienate the fans. And especially that's going to be even more important when they go to Fox on Friday nights too, because they're going to want to get the eyeballs on network TV.
Tell the folks again where people can go catch that awesome podcast, Two Face Pod, for you.
Two Face Pod drops every Friday, and you can catch it on Wrestling Inc.'s platforms and their YouTube channel. Just search Wrestling Inc., and it's called Wink's Two Faced Pod. And, of course, you can find all the details on at Two Faced Pod on Twitter.
When we touch base throughout the coming weeks and months, Paul, here's my pick for an athlete or a wrestler that I'd like to see kind of. I think it was, you had momentum going, and for some reason, I don't know what happened. I think Braun Strowman would be great somehow, some way to be involved in a big feud or match or given the belt. I really do.
Yeah, I completely agree. It was like he had all this momentum, and then all of a sudden he's reduced to the role leading the WrestleMania of Kane versus Pete Rose back in the day, you know, going after the Saturday Night Live anchors. It's funny because I have seen people say that they're tired of Strowman's gimmick, and I'm like, gosh, I didn't really feel like they had a chance to wear it out. You know, I mean, he had a couple title runs, but yeah, he's phenomenal. He's captivating, and he's an amazing athlete. So yeah, I would hope he gets some sort of a run somewhere.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. P. Boron, 88. I did it right this time.
Hey, there you go. Practice makes perfect.
Thanks, bud. Enjoy the weekend. Sounds
all right,
good.
You too.
We'll put a wrap on things when you come back. It's the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Family is big around here. We're family owned, family operated, family managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sandbar port side.
What?
Sandbar on port side.
What side?
Port side!
Where?
Port side! The left! Port means left!
Got it. Left.
There's a reason they say curse like a sailor.
Just the left.
Many reasons. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
And now, a quick comparison from Grasshopper. When a client calls, what do you want them to hear? Your personal voicemail?
Hey, you've reached Greg's cell phone. I'm away right now, obviously. Leave a message and maybe I'll get back to you.
Or something a little more buttoned up, courtesy of Grasshopper.
Thanks for calling Green Landscaping. To make an appointment, dial 1. For billing, dial 2. To speak with Greg Smith, dial
3. There's no contest. Put your best voice forward with Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Try it free at grasshopper.com.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Forget the NBA playoffs begin mañana. And fun games to get to Sunday. Pacers-Celtics tip things off at noon on TNT. Thunder Trailblazers, 2:30 on ABC. And on TNT, 6 o'clock Pistons and Bucks. And then Jazz and Rockets are the night game on Sunday night at 8:30 on TNT. Again tomorrow if you missed it. 1:30 ESPN, Nets 76ers. 4 o'clock ESPN, Magic Raptors. 7:15 ABC, Clippers Warriors. And 9:30 on ESPN, Spurs and Nuggets. Masters round 2, Francesco Molinari still at 7 under along with Jason Day. They are tied for the lead and they are done for the day. So they are in the clubhouse with the lead. Dustin Johnson on 18, he's 6 under. Brooks Koepka on 17, he's 6 under. Ian Poulter, 5 under. John Rahm, 5 under. Kuchar, Mickelson, Thomas at 4 under. Justin Harding is at 4 under as well. Tiger Woods is 1 under on the day. He's 3 under. And he had a bogey already in the front nine. And right after that bogey, though, he got a birdie to get back of it. So he is through 7 right now. See, Ricky Fowler is even through the day, staying at 2 under par. Jordan Spieth, he's had a 4 under round today on 18, and he's 1 under right now for the tournament. So tomorrow, moving day, and Bubba Watson's even, and he is in the clubhouse. So round 1 and 2, pair of evens as he should make the cut. The projected cut right now is 3 over par. 3 over par is the projected cut. So in danger of that, Justin Rose 3 over, Zach Johnson 3 over, Billy Horschel's 3 over. Rory McIlroy is 1 over, should be safe to be able to get in there as well. But again, we will have, of course, a recap with Robert Emmett, and we will go over that on Monday. Some fun baseball coming up here on the diamond here. In college baseball, Nichols, Incarnate Word, you got Tulane hosting USF, and also, of course, the Tigers, LSU versus Missouri, to see what's going on there. Enjoy the playoffs. I'll tell you about Flip-a-Palooza as well on Monday. We'll look at all of that and more. Thanks, as always, for tuning us in. Joey, thanks for what you do. Jordan, you know, you can do better next week. I don't really know what else to say about him. Just kidding. Enjoy the weekend, folks. We'll see you on Monday. You've been listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
I've been on the right trail, but I must use the wrong call. Hit us in a bag.